Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
It's me, it's Sandy, and I got one of my bestest friends with me today who's going to take this show over and run the game for you tonight. So let me introduce her to you, though. Her name is Wanda D. Hollis. She is the motivational queen and the creator of the I Am Enough talk show. We first met each other 5 or 6 years ago, maybe longer. I don't even know anymore because it seemed like we've just been knowing each other forever. And we're going to do a show tonight, and I'm going to let her take over, but I just had to put that in there real quick. And so Wanda is such a motivational, inspirational, up in your face, do the doggone thing type of person. I just love her energy and love being around her. And so it's with a great deal of honor and pride that I turn it over to her, because I'm looking forward to seeing what this Gemini going to do today, right?
Oh, no.
Okay. There she is.
Okay, so I just have to say to everybody here on the this time, you know, I know time zones is different wherever you are in the world, but thank you for coming on in the room here. We are with the one and only Sandy Rogers. And Sandy, when I say I am so excited, I'm over the moon. I'm sitting up here cheesing like I'm about to, I don't know what's going on. But it is such an honor to be on Life, Love, and Wellness with you today at this appointed time on this Truthful Tuesday, about to expose to the whole world the AIDS habit, abandonment, abortion, addiction. Wow. When I say this book is explosive to where you have to, and I know I'm probably jumping the gun here, but just thinking about it and just touching it, it vibrates different, because you know that it unlocks some keys that we've all been looking for. There's some answers in this book. So first, I want to just welcome our guest here tonight. You know, it's an honor and a pleasure for me to be here, because you could have asked anyone else out of all the gazillions of people that you know to share this in this moment, but you asked me, and I am so honored to be here with you and just unlocking the secrets that this book has to offer, and just having fun while we do it, trying not to cry so much or laugh so hard. But I do know that all of that is going to take place. So for all of our listeners, please reach out to somebody right now and tell them that we're on. Send them the phone number, the link, you know, because this is a moment in time that you don't want to say, I wish somebody was there. I wish somebody could have heard this. But you are going to have the opportunity to purchase this book, you know, share it. There's a lot of exciting things going on with this book, and we're going to just dive into it. So, let me tell the people this, because they may not be aware of just, I know you do the show, but do they know just everything else that you do? Do they?
No. Hey, Wanda, sometimes I don't know everything that I do. So.
Right. So, I mean, do they know? Because I just want to let everybody know that you are a radio, well, we know that you're a radio personality. She's also a film producer. She's a Reiki master, which I am so privileged of having her do her energy work on me. So I love that. She's also a master gardener, certified raw food and plant-based educator, and I would say expert, because I know you're my go-to when I have questions about food, you know, health, wellness. You are definitely the one to call and go to. But also people need to be aware of just the love that you have for the community, the love and the passion that you have for people just being awoke and taking life, being responsible in life, because you walk in that. So, Queen, I just want to give you your flowers now, surround you with your flowers, and let you know that I truly hold the highest esteem for you. I love you to the moon, beyond, and beyond eternity. So I just want to let the world know this is who you're about to hear from right now. So can we put our virtual hands together?
Yay!
Woo-hoo! So,
thank you so much.
Queen, I'm so excited to be here again. I can't say that enough. But I know we came to talk about this book, but first, before we get into that, I just have to understand, and I know, even down to the name, the habit, abandonment, abortion, and addiction, and those being the what you wanted to discuss and what you wanted to write about in this space, why those three things, and why, and how long did it take you to get this organized and put together?
What a great question to start the process, Wanda. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, I think it, you know, it's, hey, that's how you do it, right? You just get straight to the point. Like, come on, we ain't going to be lollygagging around. We're going to talk about this thing for real, for real. So,
for real.
So I appreciate it. It was important for me to tell the story in a way that what my original concept was when I was given the title, The AIDS Habit, was to talk about the energies of the unborn, unnamed babies of the world. And so in looking at that that aspect, or, you know, that population of people, I thought it was about the mother, you know, and I thought it was about, there was a hole that was created. Even if it was the mother's choice to not have that baby come into full life expression, that there was an evident vacant spot in that person's spirit, and I wanted to address that. And then it was like, so how do you? Is it a single incident? You know what I'm saying? Like, is it just that action that was taken to end that particular pregnancy, or what exactly was all involved? And so then I was sitting, you know, trying to figure out all the ins and outs of what could have possibly been involved in that. And that was when the thought about abandonment came up, and then, mm-hmm. And I must say, and it's in the book as well, that the energies from the unborn children, the unborn babies, assisted me throughout my entire writing. So I would get up in the middle of the night, you know what I'm saying, and can't go back to sleep. And it's like, write that down, write that down. Look, I'm telling you what to put in the book. You know, some of them were real forceful. And so I just made note of all of that. And I my intention was to bring as much history in it as possible. So I talk about what I experienced when I went over to Ghana in the early 2000s and what that whole experience was for me and how that could have possibly led into our feelings of being abandonment, you know, as a race of people, and especially for the women, you know, and how we were captured and kept in captivity and just, you know, subjected to so much violence and force against our precious body temples, you know. And then once you go, you know, we keep having these life experiences, and then you wind up addicted to something, you know, work, sex, alcohol, just you name it, you know, because we have not been true to our authentic self. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a hole in us. And so what I originally thought, like I said, was that this was about helping the mothers, the mother energy, to deal with that gap right there. However, I've been doing a daily clubhouse discussion, and the people that have been coming and actively participating in the daily discussions, like I'll read some of the excerpts from the book, we'll have a discussion, or if someone has, if it's just really awakened something in someone, then they get to have the floor, you know, and then they pour from out of themselves. And I tell you, Sister Wanda, I'm in tears almost every day. There are so many people that are walking around with this hurt and this pain and these unresolved emotions that stem from each one of those three words. And it's not necessarily the life force that is no longer here, but of absent parents or absent affection or feeling abandoned once you left the mother's womb, or, you know, that once you left the mother's womb, you felt like you were being separated from God, from the source. You know, it's just, it's so many, many ideas and thoughts and emptiness in people that this book is helping to address. I tell you, I'm the one that's honored and thankful that the words were put into me to include in this book for people to be able to read and to then come back and say, you know, if it wasn't for you, I would still be walking around with the shame, this guilt, this low self-esteem that I have. But because I now have a place to just let it all come out, you know, it just pours out of them, that I can let it heal, you know. So it's been an honor, just an absolute honor. It's way bigger than what I thought it was.
Wow. Right. And you keep referring to, like, what you thought the intention was before you actually released it. So, because I think a lot of times we figure out that sometimes when we do a thing, we think that it's for one thing, but then it ends up being for something totally different. And I get that, I kind of get that feeling from this book as well, you know, thinking that it was about the mothers or the unborn child. But it's really so impactful to our, how we function as adults.
Yeah,
you know, like how we live life. In the book, you talk. Oh my goodness, this book. So let me just let me just kind of take a deep breath myself. I think everybody needs to just take a deep breath together. Because I tell you this, Clubhouse has been very transformational. I know the couple of times that I was able to get on, and one time I would just kind of listen. I think you saw me sitting down there in the audience, like, because, you know, things were going on around me. But just to be able to be a part of that discussion and the driving force being the book, it was like the plan was the Clubhouse then released the book. Is Clubhouse giving you what you thought it would and more, or what is your experience? I know you said with the people coming in there, you just always are in tears. Did you imagine that Clubhouse was going to be that outlet that laid that down for you?
No, ma'am. So, with a business coach, and a shout out to Exceptional, and she gave me an assignment. You know, she says, okay, so you have the book, and this is how I want you to do it, you know. And so I did it like I was instructed. I originally got on Clubhouse the beginning of 21, and one of the my partner gardeners signed me up, set me up. I didn't even know how to go in and, you know, put all that little resume stuff and all of that in. I didn't know how to do any of that. So she said, oh, Sandy, you got it sounded so boring. She said, let me fix it up for you, right? So she took my phone and did all what she did to it and stuff. And that was the last, I think I may have got on there one time, but it was scary. I'm going to say that. Mm-hmm. It was scary. Because I got home that evening or maybe the next day, and I went to get on Clubhouse, and people started saying, hey, what you doing? You know, and I'm like, God, how they know what I'm, you know, and that just freaked me out because it was like all these people, you know, and I say all these people, but, you know, like four or five people that knew I was on there, and I was like, oh, I don't like this, you know, so I didn't use it again until now. And but I love it because it has a tendency to me to be more professional. So, you know, you just don't have everybody in there, you know, that want to be in there, but you have to be invited to participate. And so it's like a person is already vetted, you know, like they've already someone that's on there already have invited them to be on there. So that makes it real good to me. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, these the individuals that I have as a part of my house, I think it is, because you have a house, a club, and a room. And I'm still trying to work on the definitions of those layers. But, you know, so the name of my room, house, I don't know. Anyway, it's called Authentic Voices because that's been one of the driving forces for me for as far back as I could remember. There's so many of us that, you know, move around day in and day out without our voice. And so I'm always wanting people to speak up for themselves, you know, like tell your story. And believe it or not, that's what this book is helping people to do, is to reach down into their gut, you know, into their spirit, into everything that they have, and tell their doggone story. So, I love Clubhouse to answer you.
I know in the book you talked about, you know, your experience with abortion and the shame that it, you know, that it proceeds to your family, and how, as a young girl, how you dealt with that and all of that. And I could really, really relate and feel every word that you wrote about that. And how I can imagine the breakdown in the family. And because people are like, oh, you know, just go on acting normal. And like you mentioned in the book, like, I can't get back to normal. How did that strain the family dynamics, and then how did you recover from that and building
in my
that?
in my family, it was never talked about. So no one knew until later in life when I started the writing and telling my, there were certain very, very, very close people that knew about it during the actual time that it was happening. But as time and years passed, it was that secret, you know, like I ain't telling, you know, because I was told not to tell it. And if I did, you know, this was going to happen and that was going to happen. And so I became a very masterful steward of keeping the secret, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to start telling it because I understood what it was actually doing to me and the falsehood that, you know, I'm wanting to people to be receiving what I'm saying, you know, as far as helping them to get through their various issues in life. And here, I'm not even being honest, you know, like I wasn't mm-hmm. walking my talk, you know, and it's not that it's that uncommon, but I didn't want to be one of those, you know, I want to be able to walk my walk in integrity and walk the talk that I'm using to help people to heal their own personal stuff. So it's mm-hmm. important, you know, to live, walk, and talk in integrity. And in order to do that, you got to tell. So I started with telling my brothers and my sister. She died back in 2010, you know, so she was very much aware. I think she was actually the first one that I told some years back. And just, you know, you have to face up to it. And you got to be all right, you know, like people are not going to like you. They're going to call you a liar. They're going to call you whatever. But, you know, you still got to go on as long as you're being mm-hmm. true to yourself. That's the number one most important.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, because it went.
Did I answer?
Yeah, I thought I had lost you because I couldn't hear.
I couldn't hear
you. In the end,
okay.
I heard where you said you were being true to yourself, that you had,
right.
you know, first expressed, you know, told your sister. And when we're faced with things like that as a culture, as a community, I think it's very hard. It's very, you know, difficult to deal with life after that, not knowing. And I think really we don't even know the injury that's caused, you know, because it's so deep.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that in your book you're giving the honor to the unborn child, like naming the child. So it kind of like gives the woman, the mother, because we're still mothers, you know, and that's another thing, you know, even in that judgment of words, we're honoring and we're asking for forgiveness and we're doing it in love.
Mm-hmm.
And in this book, you go so deep with that. And then you talk about the different modalities of healing, which I had no clue about the rose petals until reading your book. So you wanna touch on that a little bit? And for those of you all, I know, watching, listening, just thank you for coming in here and just real quickly, because say someone has to get off right now, where can they go get this book at right now? Because I know they want it.
Well, thank you, Wanda. It's on Amazon currently, and it's called The A's Habit, Abandonment, Abortion, Addiction by Sandy Rogers, and that last name is spelled with a D. I have a author's page on Amazon that has all of my books listed there, so you can go straight to that Amazon author pages / Sandy Rogers. And you can, and in the normal, the regular price is $19.95, but through the end of the month, it's been discounted down to $11.95 for the paperback. And I had a couple of people that told me today that they're actually buying it for their mothers or, you know, older mm-hmm. women in their family. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that would be something because, you know, we have to be respectful and honor what a person was going through at that time when they were coming of age, excuse me, of age and growing up in that time frame and not be so judgmental, you know, mm-hmm. well, they should have did this and they should have did that. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? They did the best mm-hmm. that they knew how at the time, you know?
Absolutely.
And, yeah, and if no one told them that, you know what, if you mess up, just go back and apologize. Ain't nobody told them that either, you know?
Right.
And so we
talk
spend
about
a,
that in the book. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. So we spend a lot of time condemning, you know, the elders that raised us. And, you know, a lot of times, yeah, they did mess up, but a lot of times, you know, they only did what they knew. And as we go back, you know, further and further back and back and back, that whole process, and I believe that's why I was instructed to go back and touch on our history from Africa, because mm-hmm. What we now know is that there was a method to the madness. And
right.
So when you are afraid of a person's strength,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to separate them, right? And
mm-hmm.
so if people can talk and plan and plot to overcome the situation, the negative abusive situation that they're in, then maybe that's not the best use of your captivity. So you want to
mm-hmm.
break everybody up. You want to keep
mm-hmm.
them from talking to one another. You want to put them in groups where nobody speaks the same language, you know, and because this English that we speak is not anybody's original language. It's something that was made up, you know, from another
mm-hmm.
people. And so if you break it up and they no longer can honor their traditions, like in Africa, the form of keeping our history alive was in the storytelling. So the elders of the community was always honored with the tradition of telling, you know, what was the importance of that particular group of people or tribe of people, however you want to identify it. And so all of that was lost. And so
mm-hmm.
we didn't have a way to communicate with each other, you know. So that was all. And if we break it down, if people don't know how to talk to one another, they can't plan, then they can't stand together. You know what I'm
right,
saying? They
exactly.
can't be as powerful. Yeah, yeah. And so that's when I understood, okay, well, that's why that's a part of here. You know, like mm-hmm. we have to have our minds. And I say that because when I was going on my first trip to Ghana, some of my elders, and I bless them now, but it just was so odd to me. They would be like, well, don't let them eat you up when you go over there. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, really? But, you know, that's all they knew is what they saw on TV.
Right.
Yeah, ain't nobody tried to tell them nothing. You know, they didn't know any better than that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know. You talked about that trip in just how you were received over there and the love that you that was shown to you and just how they embraced you
yeah.
and how you embraced them. You want to
yeah.
share with our listeners a little bit more about that trip as it relates to the content that came out of that went into this book?
Sure. Thanks, Wanda. Great question. I remember being so excited about having that experience. You know, it's like I felt like a little kid, you know, like this was the treat of a lifetime to go to the motherland. And I know when we landed, the first thing I wanted to do was kiss the ground. You know, it was such an important voyage for me to be able to go. And then when you arrive there and you just see this sea of melanated people, it's like a dream. You know, it's mm-hmm. like something that I had never experienced before. Even being raised and coming up in the ghetto of Watts, California, you know, there was still a pretty, not heavily mixed, but, you know, there were other cultures or other people within the community. But to see 95-98% of what you see on the outside of people, you know, if your complexion are darker, and everyone said Akwaba, which means welcome home. And they meant it, you know. It was so much mm-hmm. love in those words, mm-hmm. and I remember this one incident, because you had to take medicine, and y'all know that's a whole other story, but I'm not gonna go there mm-hmm. right now. And then you had to take medicine when you got there, you know, because mm-hmm. you had to be protected against all of the diseases, you know, that you may get from the African people, right? So mm-hmm. I was taking this stuff, Wanda, and I couldn't sleep. You know, like I would lay down and I wake up and I'll feel refreshed, and my roommate would still be asleep, and I'd be like, well, I'm not going to wake her up, you know. So mm-hmm. I would get up and shower and get dressed and go out, and it's dark outside. So I'm like, oh, okay, so I'm beating the sun up. You know, I'm just making all mm-hmm. this stuff up in my head. Because at that particular time, I wasn't wearing a watch, you know, so I'm just mm-hmm. enjoying. But the pills, with taking those pills, I was only sleeping like 2 or 3 hours at the most. And most mm-hmm. times it was less than that. And so when I was waking up, you know, the hotel people, they would just be kind of looking at me like, this little lady, she be up and walking all the time. And I don't know what was going on in their head. When I realized is that it was, you know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, but I'm up and out. And, but I felt safe enough, you know, I didn't feel like I was putting myself in any type of danger. And some of the guys would, you know, would watch and notice that, you know, I would get up around the same time and stuff. But the bus, the tour guide said one day, he's like, have you ever thought about they got you guys taking all these medications, saying that you're going to catch all of this stuff when you come over here? He said, we don't have to take any of that, mm-hmm. you know. So why is it important for you to take all of that stuff? And it just made sense to me. So mm-hmm. I stopped taking it. You know, I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to take it. Then everybody got, oh, Sandy, you got to take it. You got to take it because, you know, the doctor said, and I just said, you know what, I'm just going to stop saying that then. I'm not going to tell anybody else that I'm going to stop taking it. And I didn't get sick. That mm-hmm. that's the beauty in it. I didn't get sick.
Right.
So, you know, for whatever it was, it was. But, and so to make a long story short, or just to kind of put a little bit more light to that, regardless to where we were in Accra, mm-hmm. in Ghana, Kumasi, you know, in the different places that we went to, the people were all the same. It was the first part of the 2000s. I want to say 2003, 2004, somewhere around in there. And those individuals that I met on those dentures that I was making, you know, the early wee hours of the morning, I'm still in contact with those individuals. Some mm-hmm. have named their children, some to get their college educations completed. Some have become pastors and reverends and things. And so there were meaningful relationships, and it was because how I was received, you know, very warmly, very lovingly, and we were able to make those connections. I know when I first got back, I helped one HIV organization over there to get set up and to structure their business a little bit enhance their business set up a little bit more for them. So, that was a trip of a lifetime. You know, just with the warmth and the reception of the individuals and just so much history there, you know, like what we're taught and what we're what's been eliminated from our textbooks here leaves a lot to be desired. And so I would urge everyone to make that voyage over there. It is really spectacular, really spectacular. Mm-hmm.
And that trip falls under the category in the book of abandonment?
Yes, uh-huh, in the very first chapter.
Right, in the very first chapter. And tell us something else that, because I don't want you to, like, tell everything in the book, but the book is so, it's just, this book is three lessons. And you can't read it all, like, in one sitting. You have to read a little bit and then ponder, you know, like it's for me, and I could just say for me it puts you in time. It's like wow, it's really, I'm probably missing all of the words, but
no, I get what you're saying. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, Wanda, because you know, like, who would think all of that, you know, adds up to one thing, you know, but I know that the relationship that the individuals are having with the name and then the three subtitles, it's appealing to most everyone that comes across it. Not only is the artwork that's done, and thanks Cyrus Nelson,
the artwork.
I know, right? That's on the cover of the book. So let me stop there, and then I'll come back to the different subtopics. So I was at a art exhibit with a friend of mine and a mutual friend, and introduced me to the artist, and then his artwork was just superb. I had never seen anything like it. You know, I'm an art connoisseur, but his work was just so different from anything that I had ever seen. And so I asked him, you know, I said, Cyrus, I said, I need a book cover. And this was way, I think, probably before I even wrote the first word down, you know. But I was so intrigued with his artwork. I was like, well, would you do a book cover for me? He's like, sure. What do you need? I said, I just need three, like, different faces or three interpretations. Mm-hmm. And that's all I told him. I didn't tell him the name of the book because I don't even know if I had it back then. I just wanted his artwork to grace the cover of the book. And he did such a fabulous job.
Amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, I'm sitting here staring at it now, which, you know, when I first saw it, I was intrigued. But as you look and you kind of like look and then you look again and you look again, and the three faces, they're very distinguished, but also like I've just noticing that the one has something hanging out of his mouth, like it doesn't look like a tongue, it really looks like hair, but it's just it's really deep, you know, so and it's really fitting of the topic because you have, you know, the title, I mean, it's really fitting for the title, and it's so beautiful. The artwork is really, really pretty. So I would say get some copies of that and just put it on the wall, just a big, big poster.
For sure, for sure.
It's just so nice.
Yeah, Cyrus Nelson, you guys. Social media. He's just a fabulous artist and creative. Yes.
And out of all your books, because you've written many, many books, would you say this is the most difficult one to complete? And how long did it take you to complete it?
I'm going to say yes to that question, and only because I needed for it to awaken these different emotions within us, within people, to be able to get back to that time of innocence
mm-hmm.
and be able to chew it up again, you know, like do whatever you need to do with it in order mm-hmm. to be honest about it and then to get on with your life and with living. So I would say that would be the it presented more opportunities than perhaps some of the other books, but just really, really a labor of love. And the that abandonment piece when we were having the discussions on Clubhouse was really, really quite interesting to me, how the individuals responded, because mm-hmm. We've got men and women in the mm-hmm. group, so it, you know, it's not confined to just women, because men, their energy and their involvement in that whole process has obviously opened it up for them to be able to want to come and be a part of the process, or perhaps the words triggered them to want to come and have discussion or input what they have to say. Or, you know, what they've gone through emotionally. And it's just been incredible. The men are just adding so much flavor and so much more, because, you know, there is a definite difference between the male and the female emotions and relationships, you know, the definition of the words and things. And because I remember, I think it was our first or our second day, and we were talking about abandonment, and it was mm-hmm. During that December, during the Christmas mm-hmm. holiday preparation and stuff like that. And so one of the guys was saying, you know, what he didn't like about Christmas was that, you know, his mother got drunk all the time. And so that was, you know, what he related Christmas to. And then the other guy said, well, so my choices now for spending time with family would either be with my grandkids or with my sister, but I really don't like to go over to my sister's. And he said, mm-hmm. and I don't know why. And then when the other guy talked about his mom being an alcoholic and stuff, and the first guy came, he's like, yeah, that's why I don't like my sister, because she reminds me so much of my mother, who was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And so those are the type of memories that come up, you know, for people, mm-hmm. and they have this open forum to have these discussions. So it's really been phenomenal to have the Clubhouse to meet. And that's every day, Monday through Friday from 10 to 11, which, you know, we have a real difficult time. We're keeping it down to 60 minutes, but we'd be working on it, so.
Yeah. Yeah, Clubhouse gives you that freedom, though, you know, and there's kind of like, because once you get your people involved, and time just kind of escapes, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. So you're talking on, go ahead.
Okay, well, no, what I was going to say is that what we have come to recognize in this process where we're talking and sharing and really being true to ourselves is that this book has so much impact on our mental wellness.
Mm-hmm. I was just getting ready to say that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. And now especially being, you know, that we're coming – We're in the holiday season, coming out of it. People, holidays hit different for different people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the timing was perfect to go into Clubhouse during the season. And also because we're under, you know, so we're waking up, you know, everybody wants, the shift is, you know, mental wellness. Let's talk about it. So your book, really lays out the perfect platform, you know, I should say, or the guideline to introduce it to any platform, to just give people that that safe space feeling to talk about it. And that's what's so remarkable about your book and coupling it with the Clubhouse platform or like the radio or just wherever you take the book to, in that space it will just allow people to know that, hey, this is, these are the things that we have to heal from in order to move on. But we have to talk about it. We have to address the elephant in the room because we can't eat the elephant. You know, we have to address it. So that's the benefit, I think, in all of it. You know, and also in the book, you know, you talked about just, I guess, about how, you know, our power, how we have to identify with why we're doing something and then how to regain that self-control. You want to talk about that a little bit and how it relates to the addiction part?
Thank you. Thank you, Wanda. You're really helping to expose a lot of the hidden motivation behind the completion and the actual writing of this manuscript. So one thing I know for sure from personal experience is that humans will develop most times to fill an empty spot in their spirit, in their soul. And so if, for example, you feel that you were abandoned, like one of our group members was a preemie, and she talked about being left in the house, and that for her, she remembers that, like being left in a cubby. And what that did to her as she was growing up, because her siblings would tease her about, you know, mommy found her on the side of the road. You know how kids do things. And those may not be the exact words, but just to kind of give you a picture. And so that for the rest of her life, she's been afraid of being left alone, being abandoned by other people. So she braces herself so that she's not dependent upon a relationship really satisfying her. And so those are some of the things that come up that perhaps is causing issues in a present relationship, or, you know, maybe she's, you know, teaching that habit to her children, who then also have the same type of intimacy issues, you know, as they relate to people in their lives and things too. So the various situations that are mentioned in the book, from abandonment, abortion, and addiction, all just, you know, comes out in a way where you can pick and choose, you know, like, so what mostly affects you and your life and the things that you've had to experience in this process, and how can you have a discussion about this, a real honest, you know, and open, having this open discussion with others that would benefit just as much as you from an authentic conversation, you know, like, like really, really digging deep, because we're, you know, we're encouraging, I'm encouraging everybody, you know, like, and what else, you know, and what else, how can we support you, you know, kind of situation. And so, and what I was saying was that the words have different meanings for different people. So the very first thing that we did, I think when we got to addiction, was go to Webster's Dictionary and pulled it out and said, okay, Webster said that addiction means, right?
But it didn't mean that for the people that's in the group discussing this subject. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times we give our understanding or don't have an understanding of a word because we're depending on something that somebody has told us we need to use as our source of information, like Webster, you know, but these different thoughts that we have. So I always like to start conversations with getting a general consensus of what does this word mean to
you.
Yes, indeed. And nothing's wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, none of it's wrong. It's just the different perspectives that individuals have. And I think that's a way of honoring everybody that's sitting at the table with us. So, yeah.
And I like how, you know, in the beginning when we first had this conversation, you were saying because of those things that we went through, because of those traumas, because of those past hurts and pains that we did not understand or address, you know, it became like just a general generational kind of cycle, you know, in our community, just not even knowing how we're there. And we can really trace it back to how we got here, you know, look at what we went through. So, I don't know, recently I was reading something, or maybe it could have been a discussion that you and I was having, or just one that I was privileged to, but just the fact that as a Black person, our pain and our trauma is different than any other, and than any other persons, and people like to minimize that, you know, and just say, like, get over it. But we can't get over it because we don't even understand it. And I think that that's what this book really helps you understand yourself better. Because if you understand the cycles that you've gone through or the things that your, you know, your ancestors went through, then you can understand a little bit more about why you have problems with intimacy, why you have problems with family members, you know, why certain things kind of like triggers red flags and stuff like that. And then why, and if you are a person that abuses substance, there's, if you can get clear long enough to understand how did I get here, then it will help us heal. It will help us move past it, because this is where, you know, especially living in this, in this social media world, and the trick is to get everybody inside of like metaverse, so where you have no real conversations, you have no real personal touches, you know, and if they can be successful at that, then they've won. But we truth seekers that love having interactions, even like this, you know, even the vibration of sound can change us. But when you get really caught up into the social world and you don't come into touching and understanding the knee-to-knee relationship, you're going to lose. This book helps us win because we have to have discussions like this. We have to be honest and direct and say, you know what, I want to learn how to be intimate. I want to learn how to love, you know, not just saying it, but loving. And it starts with ourselves, and it starts with that forgiving ourselves of whatever we went through, whatever we endured, you know, whatever, you know, like the rape, and not just our land being raped, rape of a person, rape of this, you know, like the taking in. And as soon as we get to, I like to use this, as soon as we, Black folks, we get to a line, they move the line. You know, they keep moving the line. So once we understand that we don't need their line, that we're great enough to accomplish what we have to accomplish if we choose to. And that's, I think, what this book does. It helps us make those choices to forgive, and then it helps us get back to the love of ourselves, especially when you lay out all the different healing modalities and all of the ways to express ourselves and to communicate better and to just be open to a lot of things that we have to open up to in order to put ourselves in a better position.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that, Wanda, because, you know, as we know or possibly have heard, you can't love others until you love yourself, because you can't give away something that you don't have, right?
Exactly.
And so, yes, that is what this is about, is forgiving self, learning to love yourself, no other, you know, like be madly, madly, madly in love with yourself. And I believe, too, that to address what your initial comments were, is that our journey is minimized by others because they won't or don't, can't admit their dehumanizing actions.
Mm-hmm.
Against.
Absolutely.
And so, like you say, you know, like, yeah, every time we get close, then it changes, you know. And so
mm-hmm.
when we can create our own definitions, when we can say, you know, I'm smart enough, I'm intelligent enough, I know what this feels like, so my definition for this word is blah, 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 and not everybody could criticize them. Well, that's not what Webster said, or you know that ain't what that means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's stop all of that. Let's be more in a cooperative environment with listening to each other, not being in competition, but in getting to a common resolve between us, you know? So, yeah. And I've heard several people use that same terminology, Wanda, that you did, as far as this being a book of empowerment. And it is, you know, and maybe that's another one of those little golden gems, you know, within
mm-hmm.
it. But, yeah, it, mm-hmm. it's about self-love, and self-love is always going to be empowering.
It's always. And you know what, another thing, just something else that you said. When we really get it, that there's nothing outside of us that can help us, it's the only
mm-hmm.
answer. Are truly inside.
Ooh.
And, you know, like it's at that moment that you realize, you know what? I don't have to stay stuck
yeah.
in the muck. You know,
yeah.
I don't have to do that. I can, if I finally decide to know that, you know what? I'm here. I
mm-hmm.
made it.
Yep.
I made it through it all. I keep making it through it all. It doesn't matter about the rainy days. That's not what's important. It's about how I am so equipped that I can get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you, it's like at a point, you don't have to go to the church to get the fix. You realize that you are the fix.
Exactly.
You realize that the church is in you. You know, so you
mm-hmm.
don't have to always be something, seeking something outside of you.
Exactly.
And that's what I believe that, you know, you are walking in that truth in everything you do, you know, from, like we can say, you know, even identifying with food and how it relates to our bodies and how we eat certain things that can benefit us, you know, like that's you taking responsibility and not saying, well, let me go see what the doctor said. Like, I
mm-hmm.
know what the doctor's going to say, but I know I need to not eat these potato chips, you know. But
right.
But I need to
leave
keep
my
eating
chips
them.
Alone.
Right. I need to keep eating them because I want to. And
right.
And I'll just go to the doctor, and the doctor will tell me, oh, you have high blood pressure. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Well, where did that
yeah,
come from?
Yeah. I know, right, right. I have not contributed to that.
Well, like, what? How did
yeah,
that
yeah,
get
yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So at some point in time, we all have to be taking this self-inventory and then take a active role in making the corrections that we need to make. You know, because
mm-hmm.
we're not broken. But we do definitely, if we're seeking a different outcome, we definitely need to put different inputs in. And that's
exactly
how it goes. It's
right.
It's like that
right.
all the time. So I just love where this book has taken me to, and I know where it will take other readers to as they dive in deep. And what are your plans and goals going forward with this masterfully written masterpiece?
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for that. So this is the preview, so to speak, of the launch, the virtual launch of the book. And the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to actually do a launch party. So it's a BYOB, BYOB. So that's, excuse me, bring your own bottle, bring your own book, bring your own bubbly, whatever you want that B to stand for, that's going to be for you. We'll do it on the weekend, like a Friday or a Saturday. It'll be on a Zoom or something like that so that we can share each other's physical energy with one another. We're also going to do door prizes at the launch party. So we have three different weekend travel packages. And how you would qualify for that, it would be to purchase a book and leave a review on Amazon. And once you do that, your name is going to go into a hat, and we'll actually have that drawing during the launch party. And so we have T-shirts also. So you can find them on the website, which is SR, which stands for Sandy Rogers, Authentic Ascension. I'll spell it for you in a second. And there are several designs for each one of those three words, abandonment, abortion, and addiction. And they really are some great, great designs. And so I had two artists, graphic artists, design those. One is Dr. Q Harper with QTV Multimedia. And then I also had another graphic artist, Chuck Spady, who helped with the creation of the T-shirt. So you're going to find all of that on the website, and that is SR Authentic, AUTHENTIC, Authentic Ascension, ASCENSION.com. And then we're going to have a few live book signings starting in Atlanta, I believe. I'm going to say I believe right there. Because wherever I'm invited, that's where I'm going to go. So we'll be keeping Absolutely. Everyone updated. So just, you know, you can go to sandy@srauthenticascension.com and shoot me an email if you would like to be put on the notification list so that we can get that information out to you. Look for me on Facebook or Instagram, and I'm also there. And I do want to play a song just to take a break and to get me a drink of water. And this is my dedication to you. It's something that I wrote the words, and my nephew actually created the song. So we're going to take just a couple of minutes, and then we'll be right back. And we got about 20 minutes left in the show. If by chance you have something that you would like to ask, please feel free to do that. If you did not call in, our call-in number is 516-531-9819, and you would just push 1 on the dial. So if you've already called in, just push 1 on your phone. It will let us know you have something you would like to share with us, and we'll be right back. So that, again, is my nephew, Anthony A.K. King. You can find him at anthonyakking.com for a listing and all the music that he has put together. He is an exceptional entertainer, as you can tell from how he took my words on a piece of paper and made that into such a beautiful song. So I wanted to make sure, because I did not give you a phone number to reach out to me, so let me make sure I do that, and then I'm going to turn it back over to my beautiful, beautiful sister, Queen Wanda D. Hollis. So you can reach out to me at 404-537-9372. Leave me a message if the phone is not answered personally, and I will respond to your requests, your questions, and get you the answers. Again, excuse me, the T-shirts, all the information on the books that I've written, the 25 titles that I have listed on Amazon, they're all on the website on the SR Authentic Ascension. And to be eligible for the free weekend vacation, make sure that you buy a book and leave a review on Amazon, and your name will then be put into the hat for the drawing that's going to be held at the lunch party, and that will be on a Friday or Saturday, so we can just kind of hang out and have fun.
Beautiful. Now, is the launch party, is that going, did you say that's going to be on Zoom and in person, or just on Zoom?
It'll just be Zoom or okay. Google Meet. It'll be one of those two platforms where you can actually see each other. And mm-hmm. then we'll do, now, see, that's a good idea, Wanda. We could combine it,
Yeah, that would be good. What I see is the projector of the Zoom on the screen, and then people in the live space as well.
Okay, okay. So
for those of you that don't want to come to the A, to the T, to the L, you can just, or you don't want to come out the house, I don't know why you wouldn't, because Sandy is somebody you definitely want to be in the room with, because she's gorgeous, she's sharp, she's always going to blow your mind with her attire, and her light is brighter than her attire, so you will definitely be inspired to do something, anything.
And keep yourself surrounded in folks like Wanda that will just, you know, like, okay, well, I have this other vision, though. Let's do it like this instead. I just love it. I just absolutely.
Yes. Well, you know, I say this. Any way is the right way, you know, but
yes.
To not do it is the wrong way. My son said he had got some things, and he was like, well, I would have missed my shot if I didn't take a chance. So definitely, you know, so that's just a reminder of whatever we're doing in life, we just got to keep, we got to go for it. Even if it's just, you know, how much is up to us. But to go for it is the magic. The magic is just going for it. And that's what you continue to do in everything that you do, and every time, it's like every time we talk, it's so transformational. Like, it makes you want to say, well, maybe I want to do that. I remember when I was discussing with you about the art And he said, yes. Well, you can. I said, I think I just want to paint all day. He was like, well, you can. And, you know, like you just said, you have to surround yourself with people that see you different or bigger than you see yourself.
Yes, yes.
It's so necessary.
It is. It is. People that want as much for you as they want for themselves, you know, that positive support, that positive encouragement. And, you know, because, yeah, we all have moments where we're going to miss the mark at times, but, you know, it's okay to miss the mark and then just come back, you know, like, look, I just had to take a break for a minute, you know, can we start this back up, you know, because I miss you in my life, you know, and when we can say those things, then, you know, everybody is valued and appreciated. No one is taken for granted, you know, well, you know, if you can do without me, then maybe you don't really need my friendship after all, you know, kind of. Because we're taught to be petty like that, you know. Mm-hmm. We're taught to not be in a cooperative state with one another. And you guys, we got to do this.
We do. And this came out of Kwanzaa, and that's one of the words, you know, cooperative and then the faith. And it was about faith in other people, not your faith, but faith in other people, faith in people that, you know, like, yes, they made mistakes and whatever, you know, like, still to have that faith for humanity, you know, because if we didn't have it, then we would definitely be lost. And, again, that's what this book covers, that, because even in all that we've been through as a people, we are still one of the most forgiving people on the planet.
Yeah.
Even for all the things that we've gone through. And so if we can only master forgiving ourselves, can you just imagine how wealthy we would be in all areas of our life?
Indeed. Indeed.
Wow. Like, like really wow. Like, if we could just say, you know what, I forgive myself for that, I forgive myself for this, I forgive myself for that, and just don't look back. T.D. Jakes said this the other day, I saw this. He said, for all of those people that, you know, like you were in a relationship or you were going through something or whatever, he said, send them the sympathy card. If they dumped you, send them the sympathy card. And I was like, wow, that is so cool. So, you know, because we always start to doubt, is it something that I did? Is it something about me? Like our value goes down when people start to judge us. And be like, no, my value is still up. You know, you just don't see it. You don't see me. But I think when going into the season, just to be more loving and kind towards one another, forgiving, you know, towards ourselves, more loving and kind towards ourselves, I think that that's a great thing that we all should just attempt to do unconsciously. And like you said, to your credit, like, to surround yourself by people that want more for you, people that really love you, people that want to celebrate you and not just tolerate you. You know, so that's
right. Yeah.
So with that, do you make resolutions, or how do you handle, or do you have a ritual for how you enter into like a new year, new season?
You know, what I am, thank you. So what I'm working on right now, because, yes, I have done resolutions in the past, and I've done treasure boards, vision boards. I've done all of that in the past, and they've worked really, you know. But I had a young lady that was a guest on the show, maybe it was last week, Brittany X, and she brought up a very good point, Wanda, and I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the show or not, but she was like, this is not a new year. the winter is when things die. This is like when we're supposed to stop and hibernate. The new year starts with the spring solstice, which is in March. And so why would you want to celebrate a new year in the time of the year when it's right? And so
that's profound.
I know, right? And so everything is coming back to life in the spring. That should be the start of a new year. So I'm looking at that because I love that. So whatever I was going to do during this time frame, I'm going to hold off and do it in March, right, and see if that makes a difference, and then I'll be able to report that. So you guys got to understand, I'm always about listening and then trying, not trying, but following a new regimen and then coming back and saying, okay, this is what this did for me, you know, so you can do it if you choose. And then another thing you said, Wanda, too, is about the sympathy card. How about if we just decide that we're not compatible with one another and neither person is wrong?
Is wrong, right. That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. And whatever you have to do to not get yourself in a rut.
There you go.
See, because
there you
I
go.
See people too falling too far in a rut. And I'm like you where it comes to getting some information, kind of taking it in and seeing how it could benefit me, right? But here we go, wherever we are in our life journey, the key is to don't fall too low. You know, sometimes you can't control the fall, but don't fall too low. And if you do, if you fall, then learn how to get that springboard, you know, mentality where you just bounce back up, like, to where you can keep traveling. And I love what you said, to decide. It's kind of like what you talked about in your book, and it may have been in, no, it was in this book. I read so many of your books, they all kind of come together. But just how that experience with your ex-husband and then, you know, now, like, developing that friendship, like, but the journey of everything that you had to go through in that, and then to come to that peace of pure love, you know, back to that. So it's just, I love that. I love that. Because, you know, I have a saying where, you know, like the seasons, when the seasons change, sometimes those people don't walk with you in that next season.
That's true. That's true. Not everybody is intended to be with you forever, you know?
Right.
And that's okay, too. Yeah, that's okay. But, you know, and like you're saying, Wanda, keeping that positive energy, forgiving yourself, because we do have a tendency, or the first thing that a lot of people, especially women and especially black women, want to do is to blame themselves. Or they want to make a dog out of the man because the relationship didn't last. We don't have to do either one of those, you know.
Right.
We could just be, we weren't compatible with one another.
Yeah.
You know.
And
yep, and keep it moving from there. And so,
wow. Or better yet, it did work out. It did work
true.
Out.
There you
it
go.
Worked out
there you
for
go.
The time that it was supposed to work for.
Yeah.
And
now you keep
going. And
and
every time we encounter somebody, it's the joy of just just encountering them and learning or teaching or laughing or just in that moment. We get caught up in what's in it for me and is this, you know, forever. We get caught up in that to where we just forget about all of those moments in between in years. You know, it's like, can you honestly say that, hey, you know, like, I'm celebrating in these moments. Like, now, right now, in this moment, talking to you is a great celebration. And then when it's over, it'll be another great celebration after that, you know. So every moment we just have to be like, you know, I just want to be present for the moment.
Indeed.
And that takes me to the next moment, to the next moment, to the next moment. So, you know, in learning how to, you know, that's one big thing. We have to learn how to love ourselves.
And forgive ourselves. You know, that's a whole process, because the forgiveness is like the biggest love treatment that you can give yourself, you know, like not hold yourself hostage to, you know, because, and I know I talk about it in the book, and as far as some standards, you know, like, and, you know, then you get a good job, then you get married, or however, you know, that whole pattern is set up. Well, maybe that's not for that particular person. Maybe that person is more of a craftsman, you know, that would do the plumbing or, you know, something like that. And maybe it's a trade school that they would be better equipped or better fitted towards. And so we have a person going after something that's not even something that interests them. And they do that because somebody else have told them. And I to break it all down, hopefully the lessons that you will gather from the book will help you to see the power that you have inherent in yourself, that you can forgive and be strengthened by that, that you can love and be by that, that you can say that is a part of my past. It served me during that time frame. I am now beyond that, and now I can live my life in this manner because this is what I'm choosing to do at this particular time. So I thank you. I want to just give you this information once again. So hopefully you have your paper and pen ready at this point. Once again, thank you for being with us here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. The name of the book that we've been talking about for this last 90 minutes have been The A's Habit, Abandonment, Abortion, and Addiction. You can find that for the time being on Amazon.com, and I do have an author's page there. You can also find it on my website, which is srauthenticascension.com. Go to the latest release, and there you'll not only find this particular book, but all the other books that I also have on Amazon and through the website. We will be having a launch party within the next 2 to 3 weeks, and it will either be a live and virtual or it will be just a virtual with a BYOB, and that's bring your own book, bubbly bottle, your apple juice, alkaline water, lemonade, whatever. And we just want to have a nice, nice time. And we also want to do a live book signing. And so that's why those two may match up. And remember, we're going to do door prizes. And the door prizes will, those of you that purchase a book and leave a review on Amazon, there's two T-shirts that's available also on the website. And we have daily conversation on Clubhouse from 10 to 11 Eastern time, Monday through Friday only for right now. And thank you, Wanda, so much for hosting this and helping me to dig deeper in explanations for the book. And I appreciate all of you for turning in, tuning in, sharing in the energy of the virtual launch of the A's Habit.
Awesome. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of it. It was definitely life-changing for me, as I'm sure it was for our listeners.
Thank you so much. So we will Next week, we'll be talking with our numerologist, Brother Lavelle Rouser, who's going to come and talk to us about the vibrational energy of 2023, which is a 7 year, and come prepared to learn what he has to share with us. Remember, numbers are very powerful, and we need to understand or at least listen to what he has to share with us, the numbers of the energy of this particular year, so that we can govern ourselves accordingly and be prepared for what's to come for us. I wish you all well. Have a great, great week, and I will see you next Tuesday, if not before. Love you all. Take care. Thanks again, Miss Wanda.
Thank you.
Woo-hoo.
Woo-hoo. Bye. Bye.